Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
It is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. As we have last week, we've got Alex Ben Block back this week. We actually had to buy him 2 plane tickets, fly to our studios. Should have had him stay overnight or something.
So buy one, get one free, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do have those frequent flyer miles.
That's right.
So Alex is with us this week again to talk more about the entertainment industry as it relates to 2009 and what's ahead for 2010. Also, here in just a few moments, it's Jeffrey Ginnemer talking about networking. Not a bad thing to do, especially if you want to build your business. And Gene Bliss, unexpected touches. Gene had a lot of experience with Land's End, which used to be a good company. Now it's owned by another company. It's not as good.
Well, I think you went to jail in high school for that, didn't you?
What?
Unexpected touches?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks.
Thanks for bringing that up.
It wasn't very nice, but, you know, it was worth it, though, as I recall.
that's all I'm going to say about that. Yes, sir, Bob.
Yeah. So, and by the way, did you get your Christmas gift? I mean, we're getting close to Christmas, and I did, you know.
I drank my Christmas
you
gift.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And continue to drink it every morning.
All right.
It's good. Kona coffee?
Oh, no. I was thinking about the alcoholic beverage I got you. So you're going with the coffee and you're drinking the alcoholic beverage later in the day.
See how quickly things can get turned around here. Just see, you have to watch your words. You have to watch how you say it. No, but I'll go for Kona coffee, Alex,
yes.
for $250.
We'll both have a coffee tomorrow.
Stuart Elliott is... Stuart Elliott has been a guest on the show a couple of times.
New York Times, yes.
And he has kind of a wrap-up of the year with Oprah, Mad Men, wine clubs, and more. Mm. And basically what he's saying, let's see, as television executives look for a talk show to host or replace Oprah Winfrey, that's kind of a dumb search, when the Oprah Winfrey show ends its run, will they figure out that Oprah is not really a talk show, but really a reality show about Oprah. So I think that's interesting. They're going to look for the wrong reason.
Well, you can't replace her, first of all.
You don't replace Oprah. No.
No.
Just like you didn't replace Carson. You know, that's what Leno, when he took over The Tonight Show,
right.
it was not The Tonight Show. It was The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Right.
I don't know. So, well, let's see. Did copywriters who created an ad for Chrysler Town & Country minivan sold by the Chrysler Group realize when they described the DVD entertainment system at no extra charge and extended maintenance plan as wonderfully gratuitous that the word gratuitous could mean not called for or unwarranted as well as giving unearned or free? In other words, they didn't really check out their creative, okay? That make sense?
Yeah, well, sure.
Okay, so
yeah.
There's more that Stuart talks about here as well. Just his random thoughts, probably over a beer.
You know, I had an item about Oprah since you just mentioned her, and I'm looking for it frantically, but I'm not seeing it. But what I recall in seeing it was it had to do with Chicago getting all upset that Oprah was going off the air in a year or so, or 2 years actually, and that she, they were worried that she was going to pull the plug on, her production company that's based in Chicago.
But they're not.
No. They're staying there, and I think they were just, you know, those people in Chicago, they're always looking for something to get upset about, and it wasn't anything to be bothered about because Harpo Productions,
which
will
is
be,
based there,
will be staying in Chicago,
yeah.
And plus, you know, her boyfriend, Oprah's boyfriend.
Don't know his name.
He's a live-in boy. Well, I mean, he's actually they're called lifetime
partners.
Partners, yes.
Yeah.
It's called Living in Sin. Back when you used to do it. No, you never did. You've been married for what, 40 years?
At least.
Yeah. to the same woman, actually.
Actually, so
correct.
That's
yeah.
True.
But Stedman is his
My
name.
My first wife.
Stedman is his name.
He's
a PR guy, if you knew the truth about this. But, you know, if you're married to Oprah, you could pretty much retire.
Yeah, really. I wouldn't
or
be worried.
You could actually divorce her and just take 10% of the money and just be set for life. I mean, what's she got now? 900 billion? A million?
Something like that.
Yeah, a million. I'm
and
sorry.
Speaking of Stedman or Studman,
no,
Tiger
Stedman.
Woods.
Don't do that.
No, Tiger Woods.
Oh, Studman.
Studman,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiger Woods, we talked about him and we'll continue to talk about him
right.
here as the person of the year, I think, for 2009.
He is?
No, I don't think so.
For, yeah. Screw Magazine, maybe, or Person of the Year.
That was not an endorsement either.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. But anyway, according to some folks, there is still an opportunity for Tiger to stop the bleeding, and he better do it soon, because time's a-wasting there.
Well, I think he and Levi Johnson could get together and become spokespeople as kind of a tandem thing.
For pistachios.
Well, I didn't know what product, but I'll go with pistachios if that's what you want to do.
Because Levi is one there as well. We've got Jeffrey Gittimer here on networking here at the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
Quick Takes on Sales and Customer Relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
How important is networking? Listen, if you're trying to be successful, it's the difference between mediocre and big. Networking is life skills and social skills combined with sales skills and engagement skills. It's business leisure, conducted before and after work, as opposed to business frantic, which is conducted from 9 to 5. Oh, the exception being lunch. Networking is a mandatory function of business for salespeople and entrepreneurs, but everybody in every segment of commerce and career networks. Great scientists, electrical engineers, surgeons, they all have their annual meeting of some kind. And they get together and talk shop. Giant trade shows attract buyers and sellers from all over the world to network. Well, in order for you to be a successful networker, you need a great 30-second commercial that engages and asks questions that qualify the prospect and get to the next step in the sales cycle if there's an interest. You need to be willing to go to dedicate the time that it takes to be excellent at that 30-second personal commercial, and you need a plan of where and when to execute it. Go for it. 30 seconds.
Quick Takes on Sales and Customer Relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
You tell him, Jeffrey, here at the Advertising Show. Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth about to join in the conversation with Alex Benblock. Pretty much what we do is we wind Alex up and he talks for a few segments and then he goes home.
Energizer so Buzzy Bunny, yes.
Something like that. Mm. Award-winning entertainment industry journalist, editor, author, broadcaster, and show business historian, Alex Benblock is a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. He's also been associate editor at Forbes magazine covering Hollywood, movie critic, and entertainment editor in Miami, columnist and critic in Detroit, as well as assistant city editor at the L.A. Herald Examiner, overseeing news coverage of all Southern California, and that's a big area to oversee.
Hmm.
Big job. Alex can do it. So we've got Alex coming up next here at the Advertising Show.
You know, I found the Harpo Oprah piece, and basically it was 400 employees, which I thought was quite high.
That is a lot.
That we were
yeah.
talking about there. And, of course, it's because she's her company's the producer of Dr. Phil and the new Dr. Oz, which is now mm-hmm. going. Dr. Oz is going to be huge, I think.
I love Dr. Oz. Yeah. Dr. Oz is great.
Yeah, he knows
how to pick him.
Well, he's going to do I won't get into that, but he's going to do something to Dr. Phil next year on camera. He's going to take a camera at places that Dr. Phil's never been.
I don't think Dr.
On
Dr.
Phil.
Him.
Well, it's going to be a double. It's going to be a big ratings winner.
I'm sure we'll be. Stay tuned for that. Set your DVRs.
Yeah.
It's great. Stay with us here at the Advertising Show. Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth about to join with Alex Benblock out of L.A.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
As promised, back with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth and our special guest of week number two here as we wrap up 2009, Alex Ben Block, contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Alex, glad to have you back for the second week.
Thank you and happy holidays.
Well, same to you, Alex. And, you know, I want to jump into some favorite topics here regarding television, as promised last week. And we're going to skip over the fact that the Guiding Light soap opera ended after a 72-year run, both on radio and TV, and jump into a more topical subject, and that's Jay Leno. A lot had been talked about the Jay Leno show going to primetime, a lot of expectations. And then, of course, Conan following in after Jay to fill in for The Tonight Show. But it really just hasn't held up.
Well, you know, I'm a Jay Leno fan. I think he's a very funny and clever guy, and I think he's not being well used in this format. And I think putting him at 10 o'clock is not a successful experiment, even though NBC and Leno say that economically they're still doing okay, the show's going to make money. I think from an image point of view and his reputation, and in terms of what it's done to the network and their affiliates, that it's not successful at all. Recently, the head of CBS was crowing about what a great year they're having at 10 o'clock, and the consequences of that are that the 11 o'clock news on most of these affiliated stations that used to count on a strong audience coming out of, say, ER when it was on NBC all those years, now is seeing a much smaller audience, and instead CBS and even ABC are enjoying the benefits of not only being successful at 10 o'clock, but delivering a powerhouse audience at 11 o'clock for the news, and then when that audience hangs around for the late night shows, that helps David Letterman, for instance. And the odd thing is, even though people have remote controls and all this stuff, a large number of people, whatever station they turn off the TV on at night, that's the morning show they watch the next day. They just click on the TV, and so that's helped the CBS morning show. It's helping the ABC morning show, which is going through a lot of changes, and it's hurting the NBC show. So Jay Leno, they say, has a deal for 2 years to stick to this, to try and make it work. But the idea of stripping an hour comedy show at 10 o'clock doesn't seem to be drawing the kind of audiences that you would expect at that hour. And it's not serving Jay Leno well, in my opinion.
You know, I don't recall where I saw it or heard it, but I do recall Leno being quoted as saying that if they wanted to put him back on The Tonight Show, he'd be open to that. Any follow-up on
he
that?
He said that on
do
his
you,
own
you recall
show.
That, Alex?
Yes.
I think Conan O'Brien has an ironclad contract, and even though he's managed to bring the numbers down on the Tonight Show, remember, under Jay Leno, it was the number one late-night show for many years. It's now the number two late-night show, and David Letterman has become the number one late-night show. But Conan is locked in. And if Jay Leno ends his run at 10 o'clock, it's unlikely that he'll replace Conan. It's more likely he'll leave the network and he might show up as competition to Conan on another network.
Well, since you mentioned Letterman, he ran into his own firestorm, but yet, in spite of that, his ratings still continue to do well.
You know, we talked last week about Tiger Woods and how badly he handled the PR on his problems. I think David Letterman is the opposite. He handled the PR on his problems very well. He was very forthright. He did the right stuff. He went to the authorities. He talked to his audience. I thought it was kind of an odd choice to tell the story on his late-night show. And people treated it like it was a comedy story at first, and they were laughing, as he described, being blackmailed. But over time, I think he's really stood up and proven that he's a man of character, and I think people admire it. Now, there's people who hate David Letterman, and they're never going to watch his show anyway. But there are people who love David Letterman. I think those people were reinvigorated by this and feel he's still their hero. And his ratings have risen. And, you know, there have certainly been questions raised about whether or not it's appropriate for him as the boss of his company to be sleeping with female employees, whether or not it was a violation of his marriage vows, which it appears not to be. He wasn't married at the time. And even though it's not a technical violation of his company's rules, because remember, his show is not produced by the network. It's produced by a separate company, which he owns. And that company allows him to do pretty much what he wants. If it was owned by the network, it would have been a violation of the rules. But I think Letterman is to be commended for how he handled this.
And I understand internship applications are up across the America as well, so we'll see how that goes. Oprah makes a huge announcement about her final season, up not next year, but the following year. What can you tell us about that, Alex?
Well, it's still, you know, Oprah is a shocker that she's walking away from her highly rated talk show. She's going to complete her 25-year run in September of 2011, and so she'll be on until then. But what she's walking away from is a show that was distributed by CBS, which she owned, but it was just a show, whereas she's now going to own an entire network that she owns jointly with Discovery Communications. And she'll be the boss. She'll be not only on at least one, maybe more shows. She'll also be the producer and the programmer. And, you know, we saw her put Dr. Phil and other shows on the air. Now she'll continue to do that, but on her own network, and she'll have ownership of it. For Discovery, it's a tremendous win. They've been using this space to run something called the Discovery Health Network, which they get almost no compensation for and nobody watches. And now they're going to turn over those 80 or 90 million subs, subscriber homes in cable systems to this new show. And they'll probably get a pretty significant amount of revenue directly out of it. Plus, they'll be able to sell advertising against Oprah. Now, the question is, that some people have compared it to, say, Howard Stern, that when he left you know, broadcast radio and went to satellite radio, he kind of disappeared as a pop culture fan. But I think this is different, because I think almost everybody I know who matters has cable TV. This is going to be a basic cable channel. They'll still be able to get Oprah. The issue is what she's going to do, because she's saying adamantly she's not going to just do the same kind of show she's been doing. So what kind of show she'll do, we're going to have to wait and see. But in the meanwhile, very shortly, next month in January, the new OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, is going to launch on cable systems all over the country. And we'll begin to see what kind of programming she's going to be presenting to us. And Oprah's already worth a couple of $1 billion, and I'm sure this will add some more to that. She's a great businesswoman as well as a great broadcaster, and I would never bet against her.
Well, just when you thought you heard the last about John and Kate, we'll have more after this.
There's more?
Oh, great. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shelley. Just a minute with Alex Benblock.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is the Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
And just when you thought you knew everything about the entertainment industry in 2009, well, guess what? There's more. And I love the fact that we're getting into John and Kate, because there shouldn't be more, but there is, unfortunately. Welcome back. It's Ray and Brad, along with Alex Benblock, who's our special guest out of L.A., contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Alex, glad to have you here.
Always a pleasure.
You know, TLC was scrambling as John and Kate's marriage fell apart, and come to find out... It not only fell apart, but the reality show fell apart as well. Bring us up to date on that, Alex.
Well, I have to tell you, I know way too much about John and Kate, and I don't even watch the show.
Yeah.
I know that they have 8 children, that they were married, and that that marriage has imploded in a very public way. And this guy, John, is not a person who I would call a man of character.
Right.
And what happened to TLC is they had a highly rated show with a big following. And the image has been destroyed. The show has been destroyed. It's now off the air. They talk about trying to do spinoffs and sequels, but all of it's pretty much gone away, because in the lawsuits and negativity and the nastiness and the dirty little innuendo that's gone back and forth, the tabloid stories, this has got to be one of the great train wrecks in the history of television. And I can only hope in 2010 that we'll hear a whole lot less of John and Kate.
Well, that's three of us. Ray and I concur on that. Mm-hmm. CBS winning ratings race in 08-09 season. 10 years ago, would you and I both have ever thought CBS would be on top?
Well, in the last few years, CBS, remember, has won in terms of total viewers year after year. They did not win in the key demographic race, although they did much better this year. But under Leslie Moonves and the team that he's put in place in recent years, they continue to really be a powerhouse in television with kind of traditional programming, you know, the procedural shows, the CSIs and so forth, that other people laugh and say, oh, it's not cutting-edge programming. But it's programming that draws a lot of viewers very consistently, week after week, month after month, year after year, and much to their credit, and at a time that overall network and broadcast television continue to bleed audience, like a war victim who's just been shot, CBS was up a very healthy 11% compared to the year before. However, they didn't win the demo, the 18 to 49-year-old demographic, which is the people that advertisers covet the most because they're in that household formation period, went to Fox once again, even though they actually declined a little bit from last year. But American Idol is such a powerful show. It actually took the top two slots for the highest-rated shows of the year, and that's pretty incredible.
And that's really the, would you say that American Idol is what really puts them on top in the 18 to 49?
Well, absolutely. Without it, they wouldn't be there. I mean, yeah. They have some other big shows, you know, 24 and some of their other shows do very well. But American Idol is, even though it was down and overall, even though there's some audience erosion, even though there's some criticism, it continues to be a powerful engine for advertisers, for promotion, for drawing audience. And a phenomena, and at a time that most Americans watch programs as a niche. The kids watch in one room, grandma watches in another room, mom and dad watch in another room. Here's the one show that brings everybody together into the living room. They all get excited about it, and they seem to do it every year. And I got to give Fox credit, because they haven't done it three times a year and burned it out. They've been very disciplined. They do it every January. They do a single cycle, and by the time they build into the May sweeps with their big win, and their finals, it really is the thing everybody in the country is talking about. So much credit to them.
And speaking of wonderful programs, Mad Men and 30 Rock win Emmys for drama and comedy respectively, as well as The Amazing Race winning as the reality series. Big surprise, I guess.
Well, in terms of the Emmys?
No, in terms of Amazing Race winning again. Not really, huh?
Well, no. I mean, when it wins, what, 10 years in a row or something,
yeah, right.
It's hard to call it a surprise.
Right.
You know, it is a little bit surprising that nothing seems to last that long, but this show just keeps on going, and 30 Rock has now won consistently, and Mad Men has now won a couple of years in a row. What's surprising is that Mad Men and 30 Rock aren't that highly rated, that despite winning all these awards and giving all this critical acclaim, they still only draw kind of modest-sized audiences. Now, of course, Mad Men is on AMC, which, from a distribution point of view, is a limit. But 30 Rock at NBC certainly has the potential to draw a lot more people. And even though I personally love the show, it continues not to be as highly rated as some might expect. And if there was a surprise at the Emmys this year, it was that Little Dorrit, a BBC British-made series, won his miniseries, beating out a whole lot of HBO and American-made series. So there's always a few surprises.
Well, holding it for the last segment, The Business of Hollywood, as well as a few notable passings and passages.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schulman's Brad Forsyth back in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind, what you're hoping to find.
One final opportunity to take a look back at the year 2009 in the entertainment industry with our very special friend, Alex Ben Block out of L.A. Alex, great to have you here.
Great to be here.
You know, Michael Jackson passing away, we mentioned that last week, and gosh, eclipsed Farrah Fawcett's passing, which happened the same week. Patrick Swayze, Walter Cronkite, a lot of big names left us this past year, Alex.
Well, certainly Michael Jackson may have been the highest profile of them all. And it's odd because, you know, he had a very big career back in the 80s, and in recent years his career has not gone nearly as well in terms of concerts and so forth. He was planning this big concert series in Europe, and who knows, if he had lived, maybe it would have helped bring him back in a big way. But then he died, and he becomes this huge pop icon all over the world all over again, and there's this outpouring of emotion. And oddly, in death, he's now bigger than ever. And the sales of his album, the sales of the movie This Is It, the sales of memorabilia about him have gone through the roof. And his family and his estate have benefited greatly. And, you know, Michael Jackson is gone, but clearly his memory and his music are going to live on for a very long time.
And what would you, wasn't it sad that Farrah Fawcett, I mean, really took a back seat to the Michael Jackson passing, don't you think?
It was, but remember, Farrah Fawcett was an actress, and her career really had been eclipsed in recent years. And unlike Michael Jackson, who left this great musical legacy that continues to live, you know, she left us reruns of some shows that nobody watches anymore. So she sold a lot of posters in her day. She gave us a great hairdo to think about. She was a lovely lady, but her era had passed, and because she's not leaving us several albums worth of music, it's a very different situation.
But it was a touching departure, though, when you think about it. She had that television series leading up to that, and it pretty much coincided with her demise. So.
But they delayed releasing that as by design because of Michael Jackson, right, Alex?
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not sure about that, but, you know, it was quite something that we all kind of shared in what happened to her in that way. And that's the good and bad of the reality television that dominates our airwaves a lot of the time. We certainly know a lot about these people, more than we ever thought we were going to know. And in her case, I guess it helped give us a national closure on someone who had been a great icon.
Who would have ever thought Michael Jackson's best career move was to die? So anyway, Universal stumbles and forces out co-chairman David Lind, I guess, was big news in 2009.
Well, Universal had two record-breaking years at the movie box office, and then this year they had a bad year. We talked last week about Land of the Lost being one of the big flops of the year, but they had a whole bunch of other movies that didn't perform as expected, and so somebody's head had to roll. Remember, this company at the time, and still is technically, is part of NBC Universal, owned by General Electric, and if you don't meet the budgets and hit the projections, somebody's got to answer for it. So David Lindy and Mark Schmugger, who had been the co-chairman, even though they'd signed new contracts last year, were forced out, I guarantee you, with a big, big payday. They got paid lots of money to go away. And they were replaced by Donald Langley, who'd been head of production and the head of marketing, Adam Fogelson. As the year comes to an end, there's already rumors that maybe Donald Langley is going to be replaced as well. It's unclear. But with Universal now being sold to Comcast, and many more changes ahead. It's a period of instability and insecurity for that whole studio. But they got a great team over there. Ron Meyer, who's the head of the studio, is truly one of the giants of the industry and someone who I admire and have great confidence in. And so I believe that this studio will continue to be a force in movies, but tough times over at Universal City.
And, you know, in the 30 seconds we have left, Disney turmoil, both at the CEO level as well as at Miramax?
Well, CEO Bob Iger has been in place for a couple of years, but he forced out Dick Cook, who'd been the head of the movie division, replaced him with Rich Ross, who has no movie experience but headed the Disney Channel. And this really seems to be about changing the game, about treating movies more as products, selling them sooner, maybe breaking some of those windows down so movies will get to home video and other media quicker. So Disney is looking to remake itself and to get back on track after some tough times.
As we wrap up 2009, Alex, we look forward to again talking with you in the brand new year. Hope you have a safe holiday and a good one as well. So thanks for being again a part of the advertising show all this time.
Well, and a happy holiday and a happy new year at all, and better times ahead.
We all hope that, and I'm sure that's the truth too as well. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here at the Advertising Show, there's more to come in just a moment.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
And now we know the rest of the story with Alex Ben Block. Am I allowed to say that? Now we know the rest of the story with...
And now we know the rest of the story. I don't think that's copyrighted. And, good. You know, just
that's
check right. your mailbox. There will be a lawsuit in there.
Yeah, that's Brad Forsyth.
Yes.
With Ray Shillings here. And thanks again, Alex. Always a pleasure to have Alex as a part of the advertising show as a frequent visitor.
You know, at the end of every year, they come out with the most popular word of the year, Global Language Monitor does.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the number one most popular word for 2009 was? And it's a new word.
A new word?
A new word.
Can I have a clue?
Well,
is it about food?
Well, no.
Travel?
It's about technology.
It's
a new technology that all the youngsters are using.
The youngsters.
And we are too here at the Ad Show. But we're on the cutting edge.
I'll go with tweet.
Twitter. You were close.
Oh, okay.
Twitter.
That's pretty good for somebody as old as I am.
Well, that's true. But, you know, we did pimp your walker this year, and it really looks nice with those lights and everything.
I ever need a walker, I want to be shot.
Well,
okay?
You know, I notice you've used the word depends a lot less this year, so I like that.
Yes.
And you just got your kids out of diapers, and now you're going into them. It's a crazy thing.
Nothing wrong with that. It's just the rash that really plays hell with your, you know.
That's why they've got talcum. Ray, you should know that.
I borrow some of yours.
I'm the one that's never had children. You've had all the kids, so you should know that.
All the kids, yeah, exactly. That's funny. Gene Bliss is here at the Advertising Show. On that note, we'll not say anything more about Depends. The customer experience, unexpected touches. What's that all about?
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
What are the unexpected touches of your business that create a unique emotional connection between you and your customers? At Land's End, we had a folksy style that celebrated our Wisconsin roots. Customers connected with us, responding as if we were neighbors. So, true to our nature, in 1987, when we started the kids' business, we sent one of our native farm animals home to every customer to commemorate the occasion. The inside flaps of the shipping boxes were imprinted with the head and tail of a cow, a sheep, or a horse, so that the boxes could be transformed into an animal which kids could ride around the house for fun. The point we were making was to symbolically stick our hand out of the box and say, "We know what it's like to have kids, and we have them too. Enjoy the clothes, and here's something for your little one to enjoy." Our motivation was to create an emotional connection, and that inspired us to go beyond the ordinary to the unexpected. What inspires these moments for you?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth in the Advertising Show. Glad you've spent some time with us today and hope that you make 2010 an opportunity to get to know us a lot better. There are a lot of things out there on theadvertisingshow.com. We've been doing this since 2001. I think it was September the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. So in the midst of a world crisis here, here we are launching a radio show. Go figure. So a lot of good, great interviews up on the web at theadvertisingshow.com. But tell a friend to listen in as well. So Alex, today, next week, it is Donald Dell. No, nothing about computers. It's the author of Never Make the First Offer. It's a book about business, but it's also tied into sports, as is Donald Dell. I think he's a member of the Tennis Hall of Fame.
Correct.
And he did a whole bunch of stuff. Let me look at the bio.
Well, while you're looking for that, he's buddies with Phil Knight, CEO of Nike. He also negotiated the Air Jordan contract many years ago to get him into the shoe business, so to speak.
The former captain of the U.S. Davis Cup, and he is also the founder of the Legg Mason Tennis Classic. Mm. He was a television tennis commentator,
yeah,
which is just a notch up from a bowling commentator. And it's a level of excitement. No, I'm just kidding.
He's a lawyer, though. You got to realize that, so you're probably going to get your pantsuit off.
That's fine. No problem. We look forward to that next week at the advertising
He's
show.
He's probably not listening right now anyway.
Well, let's hope not. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, you know, the spread of news and advertising via mobile phones and social networks are the two areas that will shape the news industry in the years to come, according to the World Newspaper Congress. U.S. mobile advertising is slated to reach $3.3 billion dollars by 2013. I'm going to have to get me some of that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I was reading an article earlier today that talked about the fact that a lot of clients are not comfortable with their current agencies because of the fact they don't believe that agencies, you know, as they are today,
traditional agencies
understand or get any type of social media or digital marketing or anything like that. You know, I would be concerned as well.
Well, and it may be a fair criticism, and that's why digital agencies have grown recently, and they're out there to specialize in that. And if you're a traditional agency, you either get someone in that business to become a part of your organization or associate with a digital agency so that when your client or clients need something like that, Ray, you're right. You got to have – don't try to do it yourself. Let the specialists do that.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the 33 most common mistakes made in advertising?
Well, that's true.
Isn't that a book?
Well
– you know, we haven't talked about that book in a long time.
No, we haven't.
We need to bring it back.
It's being reprinted.
It's really?
Yeah, I'm putting your picture in there, the various pictures that I have you in compromising positions. And for a fee, I will not publish that book.
Sounds like a winner. I'll buy them all.
Yeah.
That's good.
There's only one book, and it's a very high-priced single issue.
But back to the digital stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's outsourcing and or consolidation.
Right.
Is probably the most logical thing, but I think it's very interesting. And the number you mentioned is certainly nothing to ignore.
Nope.
And those who are shying away from or in denial about the use of that media, well, guess what? Your competition is out on the trail. And they're going to whoop your butt. So that's something you get to get.
Verizon's the only one sending me text messages on my mobile at this point, and it kind of pisses me off.
Really?
I mean, I don't need to be hearing from my carrier, do I?
I suppose not, no.
I mean, I got to sit there, and then I got to hit, you know, delete, and, you know, just, it's a distraction.
I see.
Now, they did say Verizon, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I'm going to get an iPhone as soon as Verizon picks that. You know, right now it's AT&T only.
Yeah, us guys don't get that with Verizon.
So when Verizon picks up the iPhone, which is supposedly after the first of the year, I'll get me one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Advertising Show is being sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll see you next week.